to go into a holy place tonight. These verses are talking about something that's very, very special. Amen. Praise God. I just remembered I left my little clicker in the office, and I need that. Amen. So Brother, let's see here. Thank you, sir. If you could just find that for me here. It's up on the... Amen. I should be prepared, and I am, but I don't usually use that on Wednesday nights. But let's read the scripture, shall we? Let's go to John chapter 15. Praise God, and Brother Martin can help us get that up here. I hope, if that worked or not. Amen. Good. All right. Praise God. John chapter 15. He said, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husband. Now we've already talked about that, didn't we? That Jesus is, he's the trunk. And all sustenance, nourishment that we need comes from him. We're branches. Now what determines how much a branch produces, partly, is the circumference, how large it has grown. Amen. So if we allow ourselves to, thank you, sir. If we allow ourselves to grow, then we can produce more. And then we talked about how he does some pruning and some other things. God's interested in fruit today. We're interested in comfort. Everybody say, I'm interested in comfort. Yeah, you are. You want to be comfortable. Praise God. Yes, we do. But God's interested in you producing some fruit in your life. Praise God. And then... He said, well, let's see if we can, we're clicking here. What's happening? Amen. We're not clicking, brother. I'm clicking, but nothing's happening. Try it again. Amen. All right. Isn't technology wonderful? It is when it works. Yeah, all right. Slide. Go. Go. Nope. You don't want to. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, if that won't work, I'll just preach. How's that? All right. John 15. And look at the second verse. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Notice that. He said that if it bears fruit, he purges it so it'll bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And then verse 4 through verse 8 is principally what we're going to talk about tonight. He said, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine no more, can ye except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If he abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Amen. All right. The Lord bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. All right. For some reason, this is not coming up, brother. That's not the background that I had it on. So, but anyway, we talked about discipline. The reason God sends discipline in our lives is to deal with sin in our lives. Let me say that again. God sends discipline in our lives to deal with sin in our lives. Now, the reason God does that is because he wants us to get rid of sin, restore fellowship, and restore his spiritual nourishment so that we can produce fruit. That's the whole purpose of it. That's why God disciplines. And God does, doesn't he? The Bible said, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. Amen. God chastens us because he loves us. Amen. I'm glad that he does that. I don't like chastening, but I'm glad he loves me enough to correct me when I'm wrong. Amen. We need that, don't we? So the purpose of discipline is to deal with sin. Then very close to that, we talked about last week, is God sends purging in our lives. And if we're not careful, we'll think that God is sending discipline when he's not disciplining us because we don't have sin. But purging is, he's trying to get rid of selfishness in us. Amen. Selfishness in us. And self can get in the way of what God wants to do. What is it? What he's doing is he's rearranging our priorities so that we'll produce more fruit. Everybody say more fruit. So we can produce more fruit. You see, God is still interested in us producing fruit in our lives. We talked about fruit. Not only is most many times we talk about fruit as being evangelism, and that's true. But I think more importantly, before we evangelize, we've got to have the fruit of the Spirit. That's what attracts people, isn't it? Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what attracts people, folks. That's what wins people. Amen. You know, sometimes people, they attract folks, but then because they don't show the right attitude and keep the right spirit, they hurt people. Amen. That kind of fruit, you see, all of a sudden the grapes turn bitter. Amen. And people get hurt. So God wants to produce good fruit in us. Amen. He wants us to be sweet. Brother Paul Hush told us in Bible college when I was a young man, he said, you want to be a sweet old person? He said, you be a sweet young person. Amen. Praise God. If you start out sweet and just stay sweet all the way through. Amen. I think that's important tonight. I think Christians ought to be sweet people. I think they ought to be generous people. I think they ought to be kind people. I think they ought to be loving people. Amen. Praise God. And so he prunes selfishness out of us so that we can produce more fruit. Amen. And then we want to talk tonight about the final secret, and that is abiding. Abiding. In just six verses here in the 15th chapter of John, Jesus mentions that word, abide, 10 times. I think he's trying to tell us something. In six short verses, he mentions that word 10 times. Abide, 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 abide. Amen. Abiding is, it's the secret to longevity in the Christian life. Amen. We've all watched people start out really well in the Christian life and fall aside. What's the secret to making it? Amen. Abiding in Christ. That's what we have to do. That's how you make it. You abide in him. Amen. And not only do they make it a long time, but their life is full of abundance along the way. Praise God. I know some Christians, their lives are full of abundance. They're always happy people. They're joyful people. Amen. They're content people. They're not disgruntled people. They're not up and down like a roller coaster all the time. They've learned how to just live a contented life. Praise God. I'm not saying, and so many people today, they think that successful life has something to do with material trappings. Not so. Not so. That may be true. That may not be true. But that's not what makes people happy. Having stuff is not the secret to success. Amen. The Bible said godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. Godliness with contentment. Amen. That's where your joy lies. Amen. Being godly and being content. Praise God. Paul said, in whatsoever state I am, I have learned. Everybody say learned. It's not a natural thing. Amen. You have to learn how to be content. You learn how to be content. Praise God. He said, I've learned to be content with that. Whether I'm bound or whether I'm in want. He said, I just learn how to be content, because whether he's abounding or whether he has need, he had Jesus all the time. Praise God. Whether he was preaching a conference with the thousands of people or whether he was in a jail cell somewhere, he said, I've learned to be content because the Lord is with me. Amen. That's about abiding tonight. That's what we want to talk about, is abiding. What does it mean to abide? The word means to remain. It means to stay close to. It means to remain steadfast. All of those things have to do with abiding, just remaining. Amen. The Bible said those that are alive and remain when the Lord comes are getting out of here. Amen. It's not enough to be alive. You got to remain. You got to be steadfast. You got to stay close to the Lord. Amen. The Bible talked about people that followed Jesus afar off. Afar off. Amen. But we need to follow him closely. Praise God. Amen. And so that's what the word abide means. It means to remain, stay close to, and to be steadfast. Jesus again said this, used this word 10 times in these 6 verses. And the way that it's written, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. He said, abide in me. That's a commandment form. That is what grammarians call the active voice. It's a call to action. Amen. It's not a passive thing. It's an action word. Abide in me. It's a command that he's given. Abide in me. Amen. Praise God. This has to do with our relationship with Jesus Christ. Everybody say relationship. There's a world of difference in religion and a relationship. A religion, you can just learn how to do certain things and how not to do certain things, right? You can get a list of do's and don'ts and all of that, but that's not a relationship. A relationship changes all of the time. It changes every day. Amen. It's not the same. Amen. My wife and I have been married for 34 years. And I can promise you our relationship is not the same today as it was when we started out 34 years ago. It's much greater. It's much deeper. It's much sweeter. It's much stronger. It's much greater. Because that relationship has changed through many, many years. It's changed many, many times. Amen. But you see, that relationship grows. And your relationship with Jesus Christ, it's not going to stay the same. It's going to grow. Amen. It's going to grow. You're not the same as you were when you first started out on this journey. Praise God. You're a lot stronger than you think you are. You've come through some things. You've learned some things. God has accomplished some great things in your life. In this relationship. So abiding is about your relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. It's about spending time with him. Everybody say spending time. Mm-hmm. Not just spending time, but spending quality time with the Lord. That's what relationship is. Praise God. If you're going to build a good relationship, it's going to take some time. You can't build a good relationship without spending time. That's right. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. People talk about having a relationship with God and never want to go to church. Never want to pray. Uncomfortable in worship. Never read the Bible. Amen. What kind of relationship is that? How do you have a relationship with God unless you take some time to know him? Praise God. He's taken time to know you. But you've got to take time to know God. You've got to spend time with God. Amen. Those of you that are married tonight, you spent some time with the person that you attached yourself to. Amen. Before you got married, you had some outrageous phone bills. You wanted to talk to one another, right? Amen. You wanted to be with one another. You wanted to talk to one another because you were building a relationship. And that's what we're doing here tonight with Jesus. We're building a relationship with Him. Amen. That's what abiding is. It's building a relationship. The more time you spend with Him, the more time you want to spend with Him. The more you learn about Him, the more you want to know about Him. Praise God. Amen. And so that's what abiding is. It's spending time with the Lord. Amen. As we build our relationship with God, it changes some things in our priorities in our life. It touches our will. Yes, it does. Some things that we used to want to do, we don't want to do anymore. Paul said it so beautifully, didn't he? He said the things, talking about before Christ and after Christ. He said the things I used to love, now I hate. And things I used to hate, now I love. Man, he said, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation or new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Amen. That's what a relationship can do for a person. And only a relationship can do that. A religion cannot. A rule, a book of do's and don'ts and this and that, it can't change you. Amen. But a relationship can change you. It can make you a better person. It can make you a new person. And that's what he's talking about when he says abide. He said it's going to involve your will. It's going to involve your choices. It's going to involve decisions. Amen. There's going to be some difference in your life. Praise God. That's about abiding in Him. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. And then, if we're going to remain in the Lord, not only does it require time, but it requires being consistent with the Lord. But say consistency. Thou art a jewel. It is. Amen. It's not easy always to be consistent, is it? Isn't that right? Amen. But we like things to be consistent, whether we are or not. Amen. You know what? I like for people to be on time whether I am or not. Huh? Brother Raymond talked about being late. Amen. You know what? When I was supposed to be somewhere and somebody's supposed to be there to meet me, I kind of like for them to be there. In Columbia, they were real bad about not paying a lot of attention to time. So we'd make plans, and they would say, "Now, Brother Grissom, is that Colombian time or American time?" And I said, "That's Christian time. You be there." Amen. Praise God. You see, the consistency is important, isn't it? It's very important. Amen. And I'm not going to do business very long at a place I never know whether they're going to be open or not. Amen. And they don't go by the whatever's on the door and they don't pay any attention to that. Well, I'm not going to put up with that very long. Amen. Consistency is important, folks. And consistency is important in a relationship. Have you ever tried to be friends with somebody that every time you met them, they treated you differently? Huh? You know, one time they were friendly, the next time they were unfriendly. One time they had time for you, the next time they were so rushed it was like they couldn't wait to get away from you. You can't build much of a relationship like that, can you? Amen. How can we build a relationship with Jesus Christ like that? Amen. We have to be consistent. Praise the Lord. Be consistent. It means a lot. Just being consistent. Praise God. Another word for consistent is faithful. Just being faithful. Amen. Knowing that you can count on the Lord and that He can count on you. That's abiding. I said that's abiding. It's not exciting, but it's abiding. Amen. Praise God. Just being there. Just being dependable. Just knowing that He can count on you. You know, whenever the Lord was looking around and the devil was looking around to try somebody, the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" God knew one thing. He knew that Job would be faithful. When God got ready to teach the devil a lesson, he found a man that was consistent. And he knew what was in Job, even when Job didn't know what was in himself. God had more confidence in Job than Job had in Job. But God had watched this man, and this man had been abiding in the Lord for a while. And God said, now I can count on Job. You go ahead and try, and all you want to, Job's going to be faithful. Because Job has learned how to abide. Amen. And so abiding then, it's about consistency. It's about faithfulness to the Lord. Abiding is about balancing spirit and truth. But say balance. That's one of the great secrets of life, is how to balance things. Amen. I've seen both. I've watched some people, they just get all unbalanced in spiritual things. Everything is spiritual. Everything is spiritual. I mean, God tells them what brand of pickles to buy. They're so spiritual. That's a little too spiritual, folks. Amen. There's some things that God just leaves up to you. And you can just make a decision. Don't even have to pray about it. Just, if you want Del Monte, get them. If you want Velasic, buy them. Amen. It's up to you. Praise God. God don't really care what kind of pickles you like. But I've met some folks, honestly, I have. That's about how spiritual they are. God just tells them everything. I've even met people that are so spiritual, God gave them permission to do sins that nobody else could do. I have. I've had a few tell me, now God told me that was all right. Oh, he did, huh? You're too spiritual. When you get to the point you're excusing sin and blaming God for it, you're too spiritual. But I've been there, I've seen it happen. Met some folks like that. I met a guy one time, went around kissing the air, said he was kissing Jesus. He was a nut. But he was spiritual. He was spiritual. So you see, that's unbalanced, isn't it? On the other hand, there are some people that are so deep in the Word. Amen. That, you know, they don't want anything to do with spirituality. Amen. They want nothing to do with a move of the Holy Ghost. You've got to have a balance, folks. And you learn that in abiding in Christ. You learn how to balance these things. To be spiritual, but to be founded in truth. Amen. Praise God. Jesus said that if we keep his commandments, his love would abide in us. And that's what provides you balance. Amen. You have to be balanced in life. You can't get too far off one way or too far off another way. Amen. There were two great men. These were men that had served God for many, many years. And I think their words are worth reading tonight. Amen. The Apostle Paul said this. Actually, he was writing this from the prison cell. And he was writing to the church at Philippi. And this is what he said. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, but do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said, none of that stuff matters. Amen. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, that I may apprehend or lay hold of or seize that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. He said, I want to hold on to the Lord, and I want the Lord to hold on to me. That's abiding. Praise God. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. There's the man that knew how to abide. Amen. Praise God. What did he say? He said, whatever happened in the past, I let it be in the past. He said, because I'm reaching. I'm pressing forward. I'm reaching for that high calling, for the prize, the high calling of Jesus Christ. I'm reaching for that. There's a man that knows he's got his mind made up. Praise God. He's moving forward. And nothing is going to hold him back. He has learned how to abide. Amen. Praise God. Abraham learned that lesson, didn't he? The Bible said that he lived in tents, tabernacles. Amen. And he was always moving because he said he was looking for a city that hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Lot settled down in the plains of Sodom and Gomorrah, but Abraham was always pressing on because he learned how to abide. He was following after the Lord. He didn't find anything here, any continuing city, any place to stop, but he just kept on pressing on because he learned how to abide. John, the aged, said this, 1 John chapter 2, verse number 3, and hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. Boy, that's good, isn't it? Hereby, how do you know if you know the Lord? He said, hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. So you know you're in him because you keep his word, because you keep his commandments. That's how you abide in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. You know, we can't honestly say we love somebody and love to disobey them and love to hurt them. Amen. And love to bring shame upon them. Amen. Praise God. You see, abiding is about finding out what he wants and do it. Amen. It said just keeping his commandments. Just keeping his commandments. Whatever pleases the Lord, that's what I want to do. Whatever blesses him, that's what I want to do. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Amen. So it's about knowing, not only knowing, but also doing. Praise God. We have to do what we know. Isn't that right? It's not enough just to know it. We have to also obey it. I met a lady right here in Athens, Texas. When I was a young man, we were here knocking doors, and I knocked on this lady's door. And told her, invited her to church, and she said, oh, she said, you're from that church that believes in all that water. She was talking about baptism by immersion. And I said, yes, ma'am, we are. She said, I don't like all that water. And I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, but you know, the Bible teaches baptism by immersion. She said, it's not in my Bible. I said, well, yes, ma'am. If you'll bring me your Bible, I'll show it to you. She said, no, it's not, because I tore it out. Amen. That's not how you abide, folks. It's not about whether you like it or not. You just go ahead and do it if he asks you to. Amen. And you'll learn how to like it. Praise God. You'll learn how to enjoy. And so it's about not only knowing, but also doing. So Jesus said, abide in me. And then he said, and I in you. Praise God. This is not a one-way street. It's not about all you abiding in him, but it's also, he said, I will abide in you. Praise God. Now, when he said, I abide in you, that is written in the passive voice grammatically, which means that it's something you have to allow. It's something that you have to allow the Lord to do. Now, when you allow him to dwell in you, what happens? You become empowered and you become enabled. We talk about anointing. You know what anointing is? Anointing is simple God's enablement. It's simple God's power upon you. Acts chapter 1 and 8, what did that say? But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Amen. He talked about power. He talked about divine enablement. And that's what the Holy Ghost does. That's what the Holy Ghost is when he said, and I will abide in you. Praise God. You know, that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. He came to abide in us. Not just, you read all through the Old Testament, and the Spirit of the Lord came up on them. But it didn't just come up on them at Pentecost. It came in them. Jesus said, I am with you, but I shall be in you. Praise God. So you see, when he talks about us abiding in him, he says, and I will abide in you. Pray, you talk about a combination here, folks. That's a powerful combination. Praise God. It is possible to exist with Jesus Christ. Amen, and not bear fruit. Just kind of hang around. When some folks say they've been in the way for 40 years, they're telling the truth. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. Well, that maybe was unkind, but it's true anyway. Praise God. There are some folks, they're just existing, but they're not abiding. They've got the rules and regulations. Hear me. They've got the rules and regulations and the do's and don'ts. And they're real quick to set folks straight. But they don't bear any fruit. There's no love or kindness or compassion. There's no tears. There's no intercession. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So it's possible to exist in Jesus Christ in the sense that you know what to do, and you know how to dress, and you know how to act, and you know what to say, and you know all the songs in the hymnal, and you know a whole lot of verses in the Bible, and you know all of the rules and the regulations. Amen. But not bear any fruit. Not bear any fruit. Amen. Praise God. And that's because there are people that know how to abide in church organization, but they have not learned how to abide in Jesus Christ. Amen. They have learned religion, but they have not learned relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's what we're aiming for, isn't it? It's the relationship. That's what we're after here. We're after a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is so very, very important to us. Amen. Let's look at this again. Verse number 4. He said, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. You see, when a vine is separated from the trunk, or a branch is separated from the trunk or the vine, it has no power to produce in itself because it has no roots. The roots are in the trunk. The nutrients are in the trunk. The sap is in the trunk. Everything that's needed comes up. It reaches out through its root system and it travels up the trunk and then out to the branches. It has nothing of itself. And so he said, except you abide in me. You see, he is where all of the good comes from. Amen. Paul said this. He said, in my flesh there dwells no good thing. Amen. I've heard people say, well, I'd never do that, and then do something just as bad. Amen. And do something else just as bad. You might not do the same thing somebody else does, but you got this same stuff that I've got right here. Amen. I may have a little more of it than you do, but we all, it's powerful however much you got. Amen. And in this flesh dwells no good thing. You've got to get into Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. You know, you can have the most powerful electronic device in the world. It's like, let me just say this. There was a man that was selling vacuum cleaners. I mean, he was selling good vacuum cleaners. And he was excited about his vacuum cleaners. And he went to this lady's house out in the country, and he ran in there, and he had a bucket of dirt in his hands, and he threw that dirt on her floor. And he said, "Ma'am, this is your lucky day." He said, "I am here to sell you the most amazing cleaning device that you will ever see." He said, "I promise you that my vacuum cleaner will pick up every speck of that dust, or I will personally eat it with a spoon." She went to the kitchen and got a spoon. And she said, "Sonny, start eating. I don't have any electricity." So you see, it doesn't matter how good your machine is. If you're not plugged in, it don't work. It doesn't matter how good you are. If you're not plugged in, you don't work. He said, "Abide in me." Praise God. And so that's where it all comes from, folks. It's got to come from Jesus Christ. Amen. Verse number 6, he said, "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch that is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned." Amen. So you see, there's a danger and a peril in not abiding in Jesus Christ. Amen. We read about that in the Word of the Lord. Anybody remember a man by the name of Judas? What was the difference in Judas and Peter? Judas didn't abide. Amen. Judas tried to take his own way out. The Bible says that Judas hung himself. He tried to be his own Savior. He tried to make his own exit. Peter did just as bad as Judas did. Peter cursed the Lord, denied him 3 times. Peter didn't do anything very good either. But you know what? As soon as he heard that Jesus wanted to see him, he couldn't get there fast enough. Praise God. That's the thing, folks. You might mess up many times, but you keep getting up. You don't stay down. Amen. You won't stay away. The first thing the devil tells you to do when service time comes and you haven't done well, he says, "Don't you go to church tonight, you hypocrite." That's like telling somebody that's having a heart attack, "Don't you go to the hospital, you're sick." Hello? That's what they do over there. They take care of sick folks. The church is not an aquarium for perfect people. This is not a museum for perfect people. This is a hospital. This is where folks come that need healing, that are hurting. This is where imperfect people come to get rid of their sin so that they can become like Jesus Christ. This is where the weak come to be made strong. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. This is where people learn to abide in Jesus Christ. That's what this is. This is a healing house. This is a caring house. Amen. That's what it's all about, isn't it? Amen. Now, quickly, let me hasten on here. I know we've gone far afield, but let me look at some of the rewards of a fruitful life. Look at verse number 7. It said, everybody say, "If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." The advantage and the privilege and the reward of a fruitful life is answered prayers. Answered prayers. Amen. The psalmist said it way back in the psalm when he said, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Everybody say, delight myself. You see, that's where it all starts. That's about abiding. That's about doing the things that please God and getting so excited about serving God that He's the center of my universe. Amen. He's my reason for living. And because of that, I become like Him to the point that He can safely give me what I desire, because what I desire is what He desires for me. Some people just want to take the last part of that verse. Amen. God will give you the desires of your heart only if you delight yourself in Him. Only if you learn how to abide in Him. But if you learn how to abide in Him, the things you want, the things you desire, are the things that delight the Lord. And He can easily give you those things. As a matter of fact, the psalmist goes on a little later, and the way he prays tells us where his heart is. He asked for the heathen. He said, give me the heathen for my inheritance. In other words, he was praying for souls. He was praying for the lost to be saved. That was his chiefest concern. You see, when you delight yourself in the Lord, you want the things that He wants, and God can answer your prayer safely. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. So, answered prayer. That's one of the rewards of a fruitful life. And then, verse number 8, he said, herein is my Father glorified. Herein is my Father glorified. So he said, a fruitful life glorifies God. Amen. That's something that people that love the Lord are interested in. That God is glorified in their life. That God is pleased with their life. That God gets glory from their life. That's something all of us are interested in tonight. Praise God, because we want to glorify God. So fruit in your life, Christian fruit, the fruit of the Spirit, always glorifies God. God is glorified. God is praised. Amen. And it is a symbol of relationship and of discipleship. He went on to say this in the 8th verse. He said, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen. Praise God. If I'm fruitful and the fruit of the Spirit is growing in me and I'm producing fruit, he said, then you're going to be my disciples. People are going to recognize that. I think Jesus had that, and He said it so well and so beautifully. He said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples. Why? Because ye love me? No, no, no. Because ye have love one for another. Somebody wrote a little poem years ago that said, to dwell above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to dwell below with saints we know, that's another story. Amen. Praise God. It's a little different, isn't it? Now, it's easy to love the Lord. Amen. He said, but people are going to know that you're my disciples because you have loved one for another. Amen. Or one to another. So you see, that's how the symbol is the love of the Lord. Amen. I feel the love of the Lord in this house. Praise God. I feel the love of the Lord in this house. Praise God. And it's a good thing when brothers and sisters, you know, love one another, because he said that's how people know that you're my disciples. Praise God. And it disturbs the Lord whenever we can't get along with one another. Now, I'm not going to say tonight that it's always easy to get along with folks. There are some people that I love that I have a hard time getting along with. I do love them, but it ain't easy to get along with some folks. Amen. There's some people, it's a whole lot easier to love them than it is to like them. Amen. You might as well shake your head like this. I'm telling you the truth and you know it. Amen. Praise God. There's just some folks, it's just easy to love them, but boy, liking them, getting along with them, it takes some doing. Praise God. But the Lord enables us when we abide in Him. Hallelujah. Grace comes in and helps us to do what we need to do, what we cannot do by ourselves. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Amen. Everybody say, continue ye in my love. Amen. That's important, isn't it? So that's one of the rewards of the fruitful life. The Bible says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I have said this before, I'll say it again. One of the greatest examples in all of the Scripture of a miracle is what God did in the heart of Saul of Tarsus. Saul of Tarsus hated his own brethren that didn't agree with him. And Gentiles were not even on the scale. He hated them with a passion. But the love of God so filled the heart of Paul that he became the apostle to the Gentiles and literally gave his life to preach this gospel to people that he one time hated with vehement passion. Amen. That's what the love of God can do. Praise God. That's what the love of God can do. It can change a person, can it? Praise the Lord. I said it can change a person. Praise God, it does change people. It always does. It's powerful, this work of God and this love of God that gets in us. So he said that my love, you abide in my love. Amen. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So you see, again, it's about keeping commandments, isn't it? You know, we live in a world today that doesn't want anybody to tell them what to do. Amen. They hate being told what to do. And they'll let you know right up front, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Now, they don't mind telling other people what to do. But ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Amen. This verse, if you're in the love of God, you're going to love His commandments. And He said, not only going to love them, but you're going to keep them. Amen. Praise God. I've heard people quote the Bible and then turn right around and do the opposite of what it said. Amen. Praise God. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. Praise God. And then look at you and just think that they just done a great thing. No. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, even as I have kept my Father's commandments. Jesus said, I'm not asking you to do something that I haven't done. Amen. And that's how we abide in His love, is by keeping His word. It's about obedience. Everybody say obedience. Amen. Love obeys. Love obeys. What did the Scripture say? It said, if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we shall have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all of our sin. Amen. And then He said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? You can't walk with somebody unless you agree on where you're going. You've got to both be going to the same place and going the same way if you're going to walk together. And the Bible talks about walking in the light as He is in the light. That means you've got to be in agreement with Jesus Christ. And you've got to be going where He's going. And you've got to be walking in light. Amen. And then the beauty is the Bible said we have fellowship one with another. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. And so we have fellowship with the Lord. But love obeys. Love obeys. Praise God. And then, verse 11, and I'm almost through. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Praise God. Have you ever wanted your own way, and when you got it, you were very unhappy? I have known and I have contended for my way. And when I got my way, it wasn't right. Amen. It wasn't what I wanted. It wasn't what I needed. And I was not a happy person. Amen. But he said that if you keep my commandments, he said, if you abide in me, abiding, he said, my joy may remain. And he said, and your joy will be full. Praise God. Isn't that what the psalmist said? He said, in his presence is fullness of joy. And that his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Amen. And we sing it tonight. Amen. I was hoping we'd sing that song. Amen. If they didn't sing it, I was going to. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. And that written by a man that had lived a full life. Amen. Peter had experienced life. Amen. And toward the end of his journey, that's what he wrote. It's joy unspeakable. And it's full of glory. Anybody can write that verse when they start out. But after you've been down the road a ways and you've had some folks forsake you and things hadn't turned out like you planned and all kinds of things have happened way down the road somewhere, if you can still say it, then you are abiding. You are abiding. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. That's how you abide. Amen. We're talking about fullness. Praise God. Fullness. Amen. I've given some thought to that fullness of joy. Amen. Just being complete. The Bible says we are complete in Him. You're just full. You know, whenever you're full, you don't need anything. You don't really want anything. You're just satisfied. That's a wonderful feeling. Just be satisfied. Don't need anything. Amen. Praise God. People that abide in Jesus Christ, you know, really, they don't need anything. Amen. They're just satisfied. Praise God. And I'm thankful for that. An elder that I knew took a young man one time to his garage and he started showing him stuff. And over there, you know, he had all kinds of stuff in the garage. And I'm not against anything here tonight. I'm not preaching against this stuff. Just mentioning. He had footballs and he had basketballs and he had baseballs and he had bats and he had golf clubs and fishing rods and he had everything. He had a boat. He had everything that a person could possibly want. And he said, got all this stuff. But you know what I was really looking for? He said, just more of him. I got all this stuff, but what I was really looking for was just more of Him. Amen. You're not going to find it in stuff, folks. What you're really looking for is just more of Him. Just learning how to abide in Jesus Christ. Praise God. Let me close with this little illustration here tonight, if you'd stand with me. Amen. I think maybe I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. In Germany, in the Rhine Valley, there's a rocky hillside. And on that rocky hillside, there are some old grapevines that have been there for generations of time. And some of those, up on that old rocky hillside, some of those vines are as large as an elephant's trunk. They're huge. And they produce some of the finest grapes and some of the most abundant crops year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation. And somebody asked the question. They said, how can those vines growing on that old rocky hillside, how can they produce like that? And somebody said, well, we traced the roots of those old vines, and they reach all the way down to a distant river. Hallelujah. Amen. They just go all the way to the river. You see, there was something when they planted those vines, somehow the roots of that vine smell water. And it started making its way onto that old rocky soil, around rocks and difficulties and obstacles. And it just kept on going till it reached out and it touched the river. And once it touched the river, it had a constant source of nutrition that it can bring back up the trunk of the vine and out through the branches, and it continually produce. Amen. That's the secret to the Christian life, folks. You've got to get a sin of water somehow. Amen. And there's a river, praise God. Hallelujah. And you've got to get founded in that river of life. You've got to get your roots in that river of life. The psalmist said, like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water, I shall not be moved. Amen. We've got to somehow, there's something in every child of God that reaches out for that. And through difficulties and through obstacles and through trials and tribulations, there's something in you that just keeps on pressing toward the river. And once you've got that foundation, then it just travels right back up the trunk. And it comes out through the branches, hallelujah, and there's fruit in your life. Praise God. People can treat you wrong, and you can still have fruit in your life. You can come through disappointments, and you can still have fruit in your life. You can lose a lot of this world's goods, and you can still have fruit in your life. Praise God. You can still be sweet. You can still be kind. You can still be generous. Can still be godly no matter what this world has thrown at you, because you've got your roots and you've touched the river of water. You've touched the river of life. You're plugged into Jesus Christ, hallelujah, and His goodness and His mercy and His love and His grace and His strength and His anointing flows into your life. Amen. And it continually refreshes you, praise God, so that you can respond like a Christian and like you should. Amen. Thank God. I want to abide in Jesus Christ. How about you? I don't want to just be called a Christian. I want to be a Christian. Amen. I want to be a Christian. Praise God. It's not enough just to go to church. I want to be a Christian. It's not enough. Amen. To have a position in the church. I want to be a Christian. I want to hunger and thirst after Him. He said, if I hunger and thirst, I would be filled. Praise God. How about it tonight? Let's make it our goal to abide in Jesus Christ. Amen. I think it would be good tonight if we'd just spend a few minutes talking to the Lord here. Amen. Is there a hunger in your heart tonight to know Him better? I draw inspiration from those words of the Apostle Paul after serving God for undoubtedly, 30, 40, 50 years, 40 years. Amen. And still he was saying, oh, that I might know Him. Oh, that I might know Him. In the fellowship of His sufferings and the power of His resurrection. Amen. Pray. I want to know Him. I want to know Him. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. There's something on the inside of a Christian that says, God, I know You, but I want to know You better. I love You, but I want to love You more. Praise God. We've come a long ways, but I've got a ways to go. I want to be like You, Jesus. I can still see things in my life that are not quite like Jesus Christ. Some of my attitudes, some of my priorities, some of my passions need to change. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. I want to abide in Jesus tonight. I want